Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is Friday. It's a fun day in studio. We have some fun things to talk about today. For those of us who have the gift of time, when you have the gift of time, whether it be maybe 2 hours a week or more, how can you use that time? What are some of the best ways to use that time? Well, we're going to talk with our friends at Lutheran Senior Services, LSS Living, about ways to use those gifts, time being one of those gifts, and also, well, the ears and hands and other gifts as well. We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit with our friends from LSS Living. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. You can find out more about them on our website. Go to the sponsor section. There you'll find the CUW logo in the sponsor section. Check it out and, see what they have to offer. Joining me in studio today, Christy Bull. She's the Director of Volunteers for Lutheran Senior Services. Christy, welcome to Faith and Family.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you in studio today. Excited to learn about, volunteers. What does it mean to be a volunteer with LSS? And you brought along with you one of your great volunteers, Don Coles. Don, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you very much.
Glad to have you in studio. I'm excited to hear your stories about serving as a volunteer. How long have you been a volunteer with LSS?
I was a part of the original hospice volunteers in 2008. October will be 8 years for me.
Wow. Well, congratulations. 8 years. That's a milestone. And thanks for your willingness to come share your stories today.
Well, thank you.
Christy, share with us a little bit about where volunteering fits into the overall organization of Lutheran Senior Services and the mission of Lutheran Senior Services.
Absolutely, Andy. So our mission is older adults living life to the fullest, and our volunteers help us do that every day. Last year, we had over 5,000 volunteers with Lutheran Senior Services, and they served over 75,000 hours of service. So pretty big part of our mission. They go out and do all kinds of different things, whether they're visiting with residents in our retirement communities, or if they're in our programs of our home and community-based services, like Don is, like LSS Hospice, or maybe our Volunteer Money Management Program, or Senior Connections, or in our Hidden Gems resale shops. Just tons of ways for people to volunteer with us. So big part of our mission.
I have had the opportunity to meet some of the volunteers over at Hidden Gems. We've visited there a couple of times and done a live broadcast
place.
From
yeah.
there. It's fun, yeah, especially when we bring our staff and they find all kinds of great deals.
I know, I never leave without buying something.
Well, you should. Did you? I don't know if you heard our first broadcast from there. One of our staff bought a sofa that day.
I really, it could have been mine because when we got rid of our basement furniture, that's where it went. So,
well, it was a lot of fun. But something like that, like Hidden Gems, really is the neat operation that it is and the successful operation that it is that benefits so many people because of the volunteers. Without the volunteers, that operation couldn't really function.
That's right. There's only one paid staff person from LSS there at Hidden Gems. Everybody else there is a volunteer. They all work 4-hour shifts. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, and we wouldn't survive without the volunteers that we have there. So absolutely.
And the good things that come out of that, it's a win-win-win situation. You know, I know we've talked about Hidden Gems before, but the service that it provides to those who are, who are making a transition, moving from maybe a 3 or 4 bedroom home to now moving to an LSS community, and they don't need all of the things. And so they're making that transition, and Joy and her staff do a great job of helping them make that transition and help them try to find new homes for all that extra furniture they don't necessarily need anymore. If they don't find a place for it, Hidden Gems is a great way to do that, because when it's donated to Hidden Gems and resold, then the proceeds from that benefit those who have outlived their resources, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They go right to our benevolent care funds. So I think last year was like $6.8 million LSS gave out in our benevolent care funds. So
wow.
Hidden Gems is very valuable for us. It's a gem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the key to that are the people who are there, the volunteers who are there on their shifts, their regular shifts. I would assume probably every week or at least
Some of them do more than once a week.
Wow.
Some of them do just one shift a month.
Mm-hmm.
Some come as a group, like with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I was there the other day, I mean, you could tell it was social time with these folks. They work the same shifts together. They really get to know each other, and it's a good time.
Absolutely. And you know, they're there making sure that that store looks sharp, and it does.
It does.
I know that Joy runs pretty tight ship.
She does run a tight ship. Yes, she does. I like to see her home. I'm sure it's nice.
It's meticulous. That store is just a neat place because of the many caring hands that that are there making it like that. Well, that's just one aspect of volunteering with LSS. There are many other areas. What are some of the other areas where folks might serve as volunteers?
Oh my goodness, we have so many. I worked for 7 years at one of our communities, Breeze Park, out mm-hmm. in St. Charles, and lots of ways that we use volunteers at our communities. They might be doing things like taking residents to the beauty shop, like going to the care center, picking them up, transporting them across the community. We have large groups that come in and help and like pick up trash in our yards, things like that. We have people that lead exercise classes. We have people that come in and do presentations for us, music groups. And then outside of our communities, we have our hospice program, which Don's going to talk to us a little bit about today. So those volunteers, we pair those up with someone who is in the last few months of their life. And they may not have a lot of family left, or their family may live out of state. So this relational volunteer goes and visits them once mm-hmm. a week and becomes their friend for whatever time they have left. Similar program to that is also our Senior Connections volunteer program. So that's where we will pair you up. We'll train you how to go out and visit with a senior. And then you also go out once a week for about an hour and build a relationship with a senior. Those seniors aren't just in our LSS communities. They can be in any senior living community mm-hmm. in the St. Louis metro area. Then we also have our volunteer money management program, which I know that Jane talked a little bit about yesterday on your program. And that's where we pair up, and Don actually volunteers with them as well. He's like super volunteer. That's why I brought him today. But that program, as Jane mentioned yesterday, pairs up a volunteer with a senior in Missouri and now in Illinois also. We just branched out into Illinois and helps them once a month for a couple of hours to balance their checkbook, open their mail, write out their bills, things like that. So just a ton of opportunities to volunteer.
Wow. Now, you mentioned in that nice long list of volunteer opportunities, you mentioned something about relational volunteers. What does that mean to be a relational volunteer?
Okay. So in our Senior Connections program, which LSS just acquired about 2 years ago, it's been around more like 17 years, but that's where we really teach someone how to relate to an older adult. It's a gift for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. For a lot of people, it doesn't come easy. So we teach you how to communicate with them, what they might be going through, how that a lot of them are dealing with losses in their life. But a lot of them want to live life to the fullest, just like our mission. And so that relational volunteer is trained how to go in and befriend someone. So in that 1 hour a week, they're building trust with that person. They're getting to know them, their history, what their life was like, and vice versa. It's good for the volunteer, too. We have volunteers who have had the same person in Senior Connections for, 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And when you get to know someone for 4 or 5 years every week, I mean, you both look forward to it. And it is just sure. that a relational volunteer. It doesn't become like volunteer work after a while. It becomes like going to see your friend.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Don, what drew you to take that first step and become a volunteer with LSS?
My cousin passed away from cancer, and his wife told me how much the hospice volunteers meant to her during that time of trial and her loss of her husband. And he and I were pretty close. And so as a consequence, I thought this would be a way for me to pay back some of the good feelings and the help that was given to my cousin.
So what was the first step? How did you get connected, find a way to serve?
First step was I looked them up on the internet mm-hmm. and by way of my neighbor. My neighbor told me about it, and I applied through the internet, and I applied to several other volunteer organizations. And the only one that responded was Lutheran Senior Services. I kind of felt like that was God saying, this is where I want you to be.
Mm-hmm. So you got a response, and then where did you go from there once you received that response?
The head of the hospice organization at the time set me up with a training program, and we had the training program. And then after that, I was assigned to my first person. and I still remember her. Her name was, first name was Carolyn, and it was different than what I thought it might be. In a way, it's like the connection program, in that I form a connection. I once read someplace that about a gentleman talking about his granddaughter, whose granddaughter went to a new school, and she saw all the children on the playground, and she said, "Oh, look at all the new friends I don't know."
Right.
So, mm-hmm. I kind of take that as a way whenever Christy assigns, well, not Christy anymore, it's Gayla now, but they assigned me a new name. Mm-hmm. And I was once teasingly saying, how come I get several of these kind of difficult people to go visit? And they reminded me that they didn't do the picking, that God did.
You mentioned having training. What did you learn in that training? How did it equip you for what you were setting out to do?
One of the things that we went through quite extensively was a little booklet that told about the process of dying. Dying is a process just like any of our other living processes. And understanding the makeup of the person going through it, what they're going through, physically what happens to them, how they react to the people around them, why they do it. One of the things I tell people the first time I go in and meet them is that I understand that there are good days and bad days. And when you have a bad day and you don't want to see me, fine, I'll come back next week. I'm like a bad penny. I show up every week. So you just tell me, I'm here for you. I'm the only one of all of the hospice organization that they can say, I don't want to talk to you today. I don't feel like it. The nurse comes in, the home health care worker comes in, you know, they all have to be talked to. But I'm the one that gives them a little bit of control over their last few days or months.
Mm-hmm.
I had one lady that I visited her for 2.5 years, which is another thing that people don't understand. Hospice is for people who are supposedly within the next 6 months pass on. Well, circumstances change. Medical conditions change, medicine changes. And so this lady would go on and off hospice. Well, when you visited with somebody for 3 months, once a week, or you're no longer a patient and a volunteer, you're now friends. And so I continued to go visit with them, and I was with them for 2.5 years. I had another man that I was with for 20 months. And I had another lady for 18. So that's a misconception people have about hospice is that it's sad and that it's short and it's hard to do. Well, in some cases it is difficult, but I have heard stories that their family has never heard. Now, I can't obviously repeat them, but when I told the chaplain about it, he was dumbfounded. He said that person would not talk about their World War II experiences to anybody. And he talked to me like it was, you know, an ordinary everyday occurrence that he talked about it. So you get experiences that make you feel good that you helped somebody, because it was shortly after that that he passed on. And the chaplain told me that he felt like that was the one thing that he needed to feel comfortable about going ahead and accepting his passing on, his dying. I've had funny times. I've had a couple. This one lady that I was with for 2.5 years, she was fun to talk to. She had more stories than I do, and my wife would tell you that that's a lot.
I've heard a few times.
So, but I enjoy doing it. I go, but number one, I feel like I'm called to do it. So it's not a job. It's a pleasure. I have fun with the people. I had this one gentleman that makes me think I'm doing something right, that he checked out his window of his room at Laclede Groves to see if when I parked my car to see that I made it, and he and I played triominoes for 2 hours, and I'll bet you we only talked for maybe 14 sentences in 2 hours because he was a quiet person, and when he wanted to talk, he would tell me stories about World War II. When he didn't, we just played dominoes. We said, oh, you got a match here, we got a match there. We never kept score, but it was a comfortable companionship. So when he passed, yeah, it hurt, but quite frankly, if it didn't, I shouldn't do it.
I'm sure that that you face that with every person that you meet, that you befriend as mm-hmm. you start as a volunteer, and you said you become a friend. How do you deal with that, especially serving in as a volunteer with hospice, knowing that the reason this person is in hospice and that you've been assigned to them as a volunteer is because they're facing death most likely within 6 months.
Yes.
How do you deal with that, first of all, going into the first visit with them?
It is difficult, and I have had some times when it was very difficult because I really like the people. But I also pray about it before I come in. Just about 2/3 of my drive to the location is spent with the radio off and in prayer about what I'm going to be seeing, what I'm going to be doing. And I just ask to be used. And there's a chapter in Philippians, I think it is, or Colossians, I forget now. I'm having a senior moment.
That's right.
Where Paul talks about the fact that it's not the pot's job to tell the potter what the use is of the pot. And that's how I approach it, that God wants me to do this, so he's going to give me the strength to do it. And if it's difficult, he will help me through it. So that's how I approach it. I do not approach it as a patient. I don't have any patience. I have friends.
Romans chapter 9, verse 21, has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and the other for dishonorable use? It's the potter that shapes the clay.
Yes. Yeah,
that uses us. And if for whatever purposes he's given us, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he will give you the strength to do it. Mm-hmm. But those times are the times that I spend, they go by so fast. I enjoy it. I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I have a good time with it. I joke with them. I try to do what I did when I went to visit my cousin when he had his terminal cancer, and that was I try to bring ordinariness to it. I don't say, you know, how you doing? You have a heart, you know, you have an ache someplace? Are you in pain? We don't talk about that. We talk about the weather. We talk about friends. We talk about TV shows. Whether or not the person can respond, because I have a lot of people that their minds have been taken by whatever disease that they have, but I try to bring ordinariness to it. I'm an ordinary person, so mm-hmm. I try to bring that ordinariness to it.
Sure, others who may visit them, especially those who are given for their medical profession, the nurses, the doctors, the technicians, those who are caring for them, quite often the focus may be on whatever the pain is or whatever the difficulty may be or how the disease is affecting them. I'm sure that it's nice for them to not have to talk about that for a change.
It's a time for them to be a person instead of a patient.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making this sound like it's a sad and terrible job, but it's not. We have conversations. I talk about my grandkids. My grandkids do strange things.
They hope they're listening right now.
Yeah, they blame me for the strangeness, but we talk about that. I talk about the Cardinals. I talk about the Blues. This one gentleman I visited with him for about 8 months, he had lost his identity through his disease, but every so often his personality came through, peeking around the corners, so to speak. And he was very witty. He could make puns. And I'm not, you know, denigrating in any way his situation or demeaning it, but he was fun to be with. He could mm-hmm. make jokes, and his personality peeked through, and we had a good time. The time went real fast. I look at my watch, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I got two other people to visit yet today, and I'm using mm-hmm. using what time I have available, all with him. And but it's a fun time. I enjoy my visits. This one lady can't walk, but I brought my iPod and we played some Glenn Miller and some Woody Herman, and she danced in her mind, and she said it was a good day. So,
as you speak about your vocation, you know, being a volunteer and knowing that it's just for a time, it's strikingly similar to the vocation and the characteristics of foster parents.
Yes.
How they know, just as you said, you know, if it didn't affect you, then you shouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. Many foster parents have that same philosophy. They know that as foster parents, that there's going to be an end to how they care for this child, and that that's going to be difficult. And if it weren't difficult, then they probably haven't made the investment that they know they need to make.
I had this one lady that could not walk. They used the sling to move her from bed to walker or to a wheelchair. And she enjoyed Glenn Miller. Well, I love Glenn Miller's music. And this lady's family had put on a CD that continually played the music of Glenn Miller. And I went in with her one day, and we just sat and listened. And I said, you know, maybe if I lowered the rail on your bed, I could help you out, and you could show me a few steps. And she gave me this look like, you've got to be kidding me. And after she passed, I told her daughters about it at a memorial service there at the Bluffs. And they looked to one another and says, we saw that look so many times growing up. And they said, thank you for sharing.
We're talking about volunteers, opportunities to serve as a volunteer. We're talking with our friends from Lutheran Senior Service today. Don Coles is a volunteer with LSS, and Christy Bull is the Director of Volunteers for Lutheran Senior Services. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll share more stories and learn more about the benefits of volunteering. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
University Mequon, Wisconsin overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute. Lily was born with such serious health issues, she needs a heart transplant. While pregnant, doctors told her parents, Stephanie and Joshua Parra, to abort their precious baby. She'll die right after birth, they said. But Lily is 4 months old, and it's been a very stressful existence for mom and dad. But things got unduly worse when doctors took Lily off the heart transplant list. The reason given was Lily might have a developmental disability. They're saying Lily's life isn't worth saving because she might have a disability. Their reasoning's been called cold-hearted and abhorrent, and I totally agree. Too many doctors think MD stands for medical deity. God will decide who lives and dies. Their job is to look after God's little lambs.
Follow us on Twitter at Life Issues USA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Hi, this is Pastor Harrison. Let me tell you about something new and exciting. We call it Life Together, a monthly digital digest where I'll be sharing news and highlights from Synod publications and multimedia outlets. There'll be something for everyone. Each digest will be delivered to your inbox, showing how we live and work together to proclaim the gospel and bear Christ's mercy to one another in our congregations, communities, and the world. Please be sure to subscribe today. You'll be glad you did.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Hi, I'm Pastor Mark Hawkinson with music, inspiration, scripture, and information on the next jubilation. The psalmist once wrote, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting." I'll share that everlasting kindness with you on the next jubilation coming up Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO. We're known as the messenger of good news.
Listen to Worldwide KFUO a click away 24 hours a day at KFUO.org. With our KFUO website and smartphone apps, you can listen to our live stream and our on-demand programs and podcasts anytime, day or night. Listen to Worldwide KFUO when you're available and where you are. Listen on your car radio, Bluetooth devices, smartphones, podcast players, Wi-Fi radios, and so many other listening devices. Listen today, tonight, tomorrow, whenever. And tell your friends about KFUO a click away 24 hours a day at KFUO.org.
You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are talking with our friends from Lutheran Senior Services, LSSLiving.org, learning about volunteering. And we're talking with Christy Bull, the Director of Volunteers for LSS, and Don Coles, a volunteer for nearly 8 years now with Lutheran Senior Services. Is that right, Don? Eight
Correct.
Years? And so some of the areas where Don has served is with hospice and Senior Connections.
Or volunteer money management.
Volunteer money management, mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about volunteer money management and what that entails, and then we'll get to some of the benefits of volunteering as well. So what is, and Jane and I have talked about this on his time as well in our morning program, volunteer money management. What does a volunteer do in volunteer money management, Christy?
Well, first, let me say it's a United Way program. We're also in conjunction with Jewish Family Children's Services. But what a volunteer does for VMM is they are paired up with a senior, and once a month they go into their home for about 2 hours, and they help them like open all their mail. I mean, we've all seen it every day. You get all these different things in your mail. Mm-hmm. Help them go through it all, organize it, balance their checkbook, maybe even help them create a little budget. And then help them write their bills. I mean, for a lot of our seniors, maybe the husband or the wife, vice versa, did the books mm-hmm. all these years, and then one of them passes away. It's like, what do? It's monumental. It's staring at you. So that's what these volunteers do.
Sounds great. I'll take one.
Yes. Okay, Andy. I don't know if you reached the age limit. I forget what it is, but maybe, Andy. I don't know. Also, I should mention that we just paired up with Age Smart, which is a division of the Area Agency on Aging in Illinois. So we've just expanded our program over into Illinois. So we're very excited about starting that up and mm-hmm. reaching more seniors in the metro area, not just in St. Louis.
So helping with, as you said, quite often with a widow or a widower, someone who's experienced a loss, where usually the other spouse is the one who manages the books in the home, the checkbook and pays the bills, those sort of things, manages the accounts. Maybe this, and so the surviving spouse is not the one who has those gifts necessarily.
Right, right. And sometimes it can be someone loses their vision and they're just not able to see it as well anymore. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're very capable of doing it, but they just can't physically do it, maybe with their hands, maybe they're arthritic, or maybe they just can't see it. So sometimes we help people like that as well.
So, Don, you serve as a VMM, is that right? Mm-hmm. Volunteer Money Management. Tell me about what got you interested in this.
I was an accountant and an engineer before I retired, and so I'm used to doing it. And my neighbor, the one who got me into hospice also,
she... A good neighbor. I should pay that neighbor.
I was gonna say, you should
can I have that neighbor's number?
She was, before she retired, she was manager of a bank in one of the grocery stores in town. And she was having ethical problems at work, in that some of her patrons came in and asked her to balance their checkbook. And she said, I can only do so much because I have a conflict of interest between the bank and what you have in your account. So she found out through one of those organizations where people come through, the marketing people, and they give one another their cards. Mm-hmm. And she got a card from Lutheran Senior Services about money management. And she said, hey, you're looking for something to do at retirement, try this. So I volunteered, and that's what I do. I've had one lady for 8 years that I've been doing her checkbook. Once a month, I go in and help her balance her checkbook, and that's all it is. She's very good at it. When I started, she didn't feel capable because her husband had done the books. And she said growing up, she had been taught that girls weren't good at math, so she didn't think she was good at it. But I worked with her, and she's very good at it. And generally, all I do every month is confirm that she's got it right. But she said she feels comfortable with what's going on. She got a VA benefit that was difficult to understand what was going on with her checkbook, because it put money in and took money out for services that she was getting. And so with her help, we called the office to understand what was going on, because I thought and she thought that they put the money in to pay for her benefit, and then they took the money out as her show to showing that she paid it, but there was a difference. And since I had worked with government accounting, I was afraid that they were going to come back in a year or so and say, hey, you owe me $20 for the last 10 years each month. And she didn't have that. So we confirmed that the fact that part of that benefit was the excess that was put in was hers. She got to keep it. And so now she felt comfortable, because otherwise we were trying to determine whether that extra money should be kept in a separate account so that if she ever had to pay it back, she'd have it. So it's something that I had never seen before, and I've talked to several people, and they had never seen it. So it's helping with that, because she was so confused. She didn't know that she had the authority to question what was going on, because it came from the government. And at her age, she had been taught you don't question what happens from the government. So it gave her peace of mind. And it was interesting for me to find out about how they do it. So,
and it provided some advocacy for her.
Yes. I hadn't thought about that, but yes, it did.
Absolutely.
And a companion. I'm sure after 8 years, she looks forward to your visits, Don.
Yeah. Yeah, she makes me... I'm not supposed to receive any benefits from her, but She's very good with making paper products, and she makes a special Christmas card for me and a birthday card. And so, it's kind of a combination volunteer money management and companionship.
I'm sure she appreciates the visit, just another person to visit with during that time as well.
Mm-hmm. I took my wife along one time, and we brought her Christmas cookies. And now my wife makes sure that I, at Christmas time, that I take cookies to her, since she knows her also.
And it's important, too, for the listeners to know, if you're not an accountant by trade, you can still do volunteer
it.
Money management.
Yeah,
my husband's a CPA. I'm pretty sure he didn't look at the checkbook the first 10 years we were married. So a lot of people can be trained to be volunteer money management volunteers, for sure.
Describe for me the difference that this makes for this individual that you helped on.
She, like most of the people on the program, on that project, are very lean, and if they have an extra expense of medicine or doctor bill that maybe is not covered by the insurance, it can be very dicey. These are not the real numbers, obviously. But it's kind of like she has expenses of $2,000 and her income is $2,010. So she's on the ragged edge from month to month. So she just has a comfort feeling to know that she has X number of dollars in the bank, that she doesn't have to worry.
There's not a lot of room for error when you live lean.
No.
And so having the accuracy that you bring to her books, and that provides some comfort for her.
Yes. She always tells me when I leave, she says, without you, I would be very uncomfortable in doing what I do. And she says, and I'm fearful of writing every check, afraid that I'm going to bounce one and it's going to cost me $35 that she doesn't have.
Mm-hmm. Christy, is this a common theme that you hear from those who are benefiting from the volunteer money management?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have that with my own parents. You know, there's only so much money to go around. There's only so much in the bucket. And it has to go to lots of different things. So, yes, it's a very common theme. It's that reassurance, knowing that someone else is there. They're helping them make those decisions. And we're not asking them to make financial decisions for them in any way, but to just help them and to be there with them. And he's given them that companionship. The volunteers are giving them that the resources that they might need, and just being there with them. So, awesome.
Now, you mentioned earlier you don't have to have a professional accounting background to serve in this capacity, to serve as a volunteer with volunteer money management. But other questions that someone might have, like, you know, how do I know that I can trust this volunteer? How would you know how do I know that my parents can trust this volunteer that's coming to help balance the checkbook?
Well, the volunteer program at Lutheran Senior Services is, we are set up through the United Way, so we have some stringent processes that we follow. We do a thorough background check, we go through an interview, application, and also orientation and training. So with all of our volunteers, we make sure that, and I always kind of, my rule of thumb is, would I put this person with my own mom? And if I wouldn't, probably not going to happen. So everyone goes through that those process steps, and then also through training. And we go out with them the first time. We have a volunteer coordinator that's going to go out and make sure it's a good fit, because we all know that not everybody's personalities are going to match. So we're there to make sure that it's a good fit. And luckily with Don, 8 years later, this has been an awesome fit. So, but yeah, definitely, we are there to make sure that it's a success.
I had another lady that I worked with, and she was having difficulty with her credit cards. And so we went through the credit cards and found a method of paying them down in the correct manner so that her interest was down. we did, with her help, we made a few phone calls. And with her on the line, we talked to the credit card companies and worked out a deal so that we could decrease the amount of interest she was paying.
I'm sure she was very appreciative of that and helping her through that situation. Well, certainly the recipients of service like Don's, the recipients who are partnered with a volunteer benefit from that. Christy, you came ready to share with us some of the benefits of volunteering today. What are some of the reasons, some of the benefits of volunteering?
Well, I got to tell you, when I was asked to come on the radio station, I had just finished up Volunteer Appreciation Month, which was April. So I went to a lot of our LSS communities in Missouri and Illinois, to a lot of our volunteer parties where we make them feel very special for all that they do for us. And I just asked them, why do you volunteer? And a lot of them responded with things like Don said today, I want to give back to others. I want to serve other people. You know, maybe God's called me to do this. I want to make a difference. But some other things that they were telling me in their responses were also things that affected them, like it makes me feel good, or it gives me a purpose.
Gets me out of the house.
Gets me out of bed. Mm-hmm. Gives me some structure. Gives me a challenge. Makes me stay active. I mean, the list just went on and on and on. And that's when it kind of clicked for me. You know, people go into service maybe thinking that they're doing it for others, and they are. But what I saw too, and what I get to see every day in this awesome job that I get to do, is the benefits that it gets back to the person. And that's what keeps them coming back. People like Don have been with us for years and years. It's how good it makes you feel to know that you're helping someone else.
Does anyone ever say, I'm so glad that my husband volunteers so that I have free time?
Yes.
Yeah. I think Don's wife would attest to that. Gets him out of the house. Absolutely. Sometimes they bring their spouses, though. Some things that couples can do together. And we have a lot of school groups that volunteer with us, a lot of church groups, things that you can do with the community, a lot of families that volunteer together, too. Mm-hmm. So gets you away from people, but brings you together, too.
Sure. There can be a very intergenerational approach to this as well. Just thinking about how, you know, bringing a small child, a young child, to visit a senior, or even in hospice care, that may be something that's beneficial. Obviously, not every situation. But.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And animals, too. We have a lot of our volunteers, both with our Senior Connections program, and I think we're getting ready to start it with our hospice program, too, where you can bring your pet that's been approved and trained through the APA. To come. And older adults love animals too. So yes, kids, animals, you name it. Absolutely.
That's great. So there are a number of ways to serve. Now we've talked about a hospice and volunteer money management. Are there other ways to serve as a volunteer with LSS?
Yeah, we've also kind of touched on a little bit the Senior Connections program, and that is a wonderful way. And we're always looking for volunteers for that. And that's the one where we pair you up once a week to visit someone, a lonely senior. We talked about hidden gems, but also at all of our LSS communities. I love it when a volunteer applies and I get to talk to them about, you know, how much time do you have available? But what is it that you want to do? You know, what are your talents? What are some things that you're good at? What do you want to share with others? So there's lots of opportunities in our communities where you can give back doing something that you love, too. And then it's a win-win.
How do you go about becoming a volunteer with LSS? What are the steps?
First thing I would do is that you could either call me or you could go onto our website. Either way, I'm going to give you a long list of opportunities that we have. So once you've gone online, you're going to fill out an application. We treat our volunteers much like we do our employees because they go through the same kind of screening process. Once I get your application, I'm going to call you and I'm going to talk to you a little bit more. Maybe you've told me on your application, these are all the things you want to do, but I'm going to talk to you and find out what is it that's really going to make that good match. And then I'm going to refer you to that department. So if it sounds like hospice is going to be a good match, then I'm going to send you to our hospice coordinator. If I think it would be a good match and you and I agree, maybe going to one of our communities near you in Missouri or in Illinois, I'm going to send you to one of those. And then once you go there, we'll do your background check. You'll have an orientation. We'll get you set up and get you going.
Don, how has volunteering been? How has it benefited you? How has it provided something for you?
I have gotten to meet people that are ordinarily exceptional.
Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, I had this one friend who was 102. How many people know anybody 102? I have another one that's 100. I have a man who was over 18 hours during World War II in the water with sharks around. How many have heard that story personally? I get to meet people that are unique in their outlook on life. I had one gentleman who was a type A personality, a go, go, go. And even when he was going through his, he didn't have Alzheimer's, but he had that problem. He still had that personality, and he still was able to pass on business acumen. I have fun. I have met people who work at the Bluffs, at Laclede, that are now my friends. I apparently have gotten younger
everybody should sign up to volunteer now.
Because the everybody that I have, we were talking about age when I was at the Bluffs one time, and all of the workers thought I was anywhere from 5 to 10 years younger than I am. So,
congratulations.
Thank you very much. I changed my birth date, by the way.
Good for you. Take back a few birthdays, huh?
The other half of it is that you find out that while you may have a problem, other people have some that are more severe. Other people have a good outlook on their problems, and you can learn from their good outlook. I get out of the house. I go someplace. My family gets a break. And I get to meet new people. I enjoy meeting. I'm not real good in a crowd, but one-on-one or one-on-two, I enjoy that because we can exchange life stories. The opportunities that I've had, I've met people. I grew up as a Mennonite and a Baptist, and Danny and I were talking about it, my brother and I were talking about it coming up here, about how when you grow up, when you never go to a different denomination, you get an idea that you're rather insular. And when I still have to shake my head when we go and have our dinners for the volunteer money management and the hospice when we start with prayer, because I'm thinking, this isn't my church. So it's you get new experiences and you get away from yourself. You don't have any problems considering some others. But I don't think of the people as when I first meet them that I'm not going to have them for long. I had one lady tell me, she asked me, first visit I go to her, she says, how'd you get here? And she's very stern and almost like she's mad at me. And I said, well, I come on the highway. She said, you know, you could get hit by a truck and get killed and die before me. And I said, yes, ma'am, that's true. She said, I just wanted us to start off on the same foot. So, you know, the other thing is about hospice, not all of the hospice volunteers visit with patients. We need other things done. There's an awful lot of paperwork that has to be done. And we have people that come into the office and all they do is file paperwork that's necessary to keep the books up to speed because we are I don't know whether you call it licensed or what it is, but we are an approved hospice organization. And there are government regulations that require paperwork. So we have volunteers that do that. Not everybody can go visit a patient or a person that has a short time to live. They just don't have the physical makeup or emotional makeup. So we have other things to be done, and it's not just visiting people. So if people are shy and don't want to visit people, hey, you don't have to. We have a lot of jobs in the office that can use a volunteer.
Good point, Don. We do. We have a, everybody has different gifts, and that's our job, is to make sure that we can help people use their gifts to the glory of God. And that's what we're here to do.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, a good example, you don't, not every volunteer opportunity requires sitting down and having a conversation. Mm-hmm. If you're thinking, okay, I do have the gift of time, but I don't have the gift of gab. I don't really want to sit down and have a conversation, or I'm afraid to sit down. And what if it's silent the whole time?
You know, absolutely. That makes me think about a lady that comes in and volunteers with me twice a week. And when she interviewed to volunteer, she could barely look me in the eye. She was, and she quite out, you know, just frankly said, you know, I have a history of depression. But I live with my sister who has Alzheimer's, and I help take care of her, and I just need a place to get out and a place to go to. So she started with us a few months ago and is coming into our office twice a week. I have her doing all kinds of things, like, you know, helping me with mailings or making phone calls for me, or just different administrative tasks. And I got to tell you, it has been so cool to watch her grow these last few months. She will now talk to other people at lunch and sit and visit with people. She'll look you in the eye. She's smiling more. It's just given her a real sense of purpose. I think it's really helped her grow. And it's obviously helping us too. So you're right. So we try our best to look and find out what people's gifts are and where we can best use those. We turn very few people away.
We, at any age in life, we might face isolation.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, whether living alone and isolated, or perhaps even those with whom we live, we may feel somewhat isolated because there isn't a lot of interaction or communication, or whatever the reason might be at any age. The chances of that isolation certainly increase, I think, as we get older. And so those who have this, you know, who have this gift of time, or in those retirement years and have the freedom to use their time and their gifts and talents, rather than facing that possible isolation, get out, use that gift of time, use those gifts and talents you have to help someone else.
Absolutely. I actually just finished reading a book. It was by a retired Marine doctor. And he wrote a book, his name's Roger Landry, and he wrote a book called Live Long, Die Short. Mm-hmm. And it's all about living life to the fullest, which is our mission at LSS, living longer. You know, what can you do to make that dying process shorter for you? To each and every day, you are not only giving back, but you're thinking healthy, and it's about relationship building, and the book is just fantastic. But that's what it reminds me of you're never too old to learn something new. Use it or lose it. Just getting yourself out there. And so, absolutely. Of course, we work with volunteers of all ages. We also work with a lot of other nonprofits. We work with MERS Goodwill, Giant Steps, Kids with Autism. And it's so fun to watch people of all ages, of all capabilities, come in. And we find them something to do that makes it worthwhile for them. And it's fun to watch them grow.
Our guest today, Christy Bull, Lutheran Senior Services Director of Volunteers. Christy, thanks so much for being my guest.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And Don Coles, volunteer with Lutheran Senior Services. Don, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for inviting me.
You can find out more at lssliving.org. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word on listener-supported worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.